Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Sports Talk with Tajri Russell. I'm your host, Taj. Kicking it off with Season 3. Find us on all your favorite podcast platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts. This is Sports Talk with Tajri Russell. NBA. We got some major boxing news. Some NFL news. Thank you for being with us. Let's get started. First off, I want to say thank you to my new partners in crime. Elevation 5280 Sports. Look us up. You can find us on Twitter, IG, Facebook. Elevation 5280 Sports. Headquarters is out in Denver. But I am their East Coast representative. A lot of the same. If you like what I do here with the Sports Talk podcast, then you'll probably like what we're doing over there on the Let's Be Real radio show. If you look up Elevation Sports 5280, the first episode of Let's Be Real premiered earlier this week. So like I said, if you like what we do here, Let's Be Real is more of the same thing, more sports talk. We try to mix in a little bit of entertainment with that too, if anything's going on in the entertainment world with major celebrities. So if you like what we do on the Sports Talk with Tajri Russell podcast, definitely check out Elevation Sports. There are also some other shows on there by some of my teammates that you may be interested in as well. So different angles, different perspectives, different viewpoints. We got a little bit of everything. Elevation 5280 Sports in Denver. So big shout out to them. It's a new partnership I got going on. New thing, but more of the same thing. You know what I mean? New thing, but more of the same thing. I like to do what I do. So, hey, you know, different perspectives just furthers the conversation. That's how I see it. You know what I mean? So that show is going to be more guest-oriented. We've had a couple guests on the podcast. That show is going to be more guest-oriented, and there'll probably be more footage with that, more actual in-person, you-can-see-my-face footage on that if we get that going. So that'll be fun. Definitely check it out, Elevation 5280 Sports. But for today, hey, I just want to give a shout out to Oscar Valdez. Now listen, we don't talk boxing enough. I don't watch boxing enough. I don't watch MMA enough. Why is that? As a American sports culture, I feel like it's not in the everyday talk, in the everyday conversation. Why is that? I think one is because, you know, there's these networks, the major networks that we watch, there's money that goes into this. And so some of the big news is organic. Some of the big news is actual big news that's been spreading across the nation. So it needs to be talked about. But then there are some news that nobody really cared about, but since it's talked about every day, we'll listen. A good example of that is the Cowboys. If you look at the Cowboys during the football season, the Cowboys have a lot of premier time slots on television. Their actual games as along with the post game, you know, different TV shows and topics like that. Nobody really cares. They haven't been successful enough for people to really care about what's going on with the Cowboys. But money plays a factor, and so you will hear news about the Cowboys, whether they're doing good, whether they're doing bad. You will hear news about the Cowboys. They will be in the talks. And so money goes into it. So for boxing, for MMA, you know, for tennis, like there's a lot of things we don't pay attention to, and it doesn't make it any less relevant. It's just we have to do more digging to find that information. It's not as easily accessible the way information is so accessible in 2021. And so, big shout out to Oscar Valdez, crowned the new super featherweight champion. He knocked out Miguel Burchett in the 10th round, and I watched it. It was, listen, first of all, 10 rounds. I don't know if you knocked him out in the 10th round, and by the time you get to the 10th round, I don't really like watching the smaller guys fight, to be honest. I don't really like to watch the smaller guys fight. But if they could get to the further rounds, it starts getting interesting, because now you're seeing the small guys, you're seeing the little guys move like big guys. And what I mean by that is tired, heavy is heavy. You know, whether you're 200 pounds or whether you're, you know, 140 pounds, whether you're 170 pounds, you know, I think these guys weighed in at 170. A heavy arm is a heavy arm. A tired muscle is a tired muscle, no matter how big or small you are. So once you get 10 rounds in, those arms get heavy. You know, your arms are heavy, the fatigue is a factor, and the technique starts slacking. And so that's what I kind of like. That's when you know, when it's real, the technique starts slacking a bit, people start taking more chances. That's the part of the fight I like to see. These early rounds where people are throwing combinations, you know, at nothing really, and people are, you know, feeling each other out, moving around the ring unnecessarily, like, you know, I just want to get to the, okay, they're tired, they're banged up, you know, somebody got caught with a nice jab, woke them up. Now we're fighting. So that's what I like to see. So shout out to Oscar Valdez. Both of these men were originated from Mexico. Two Mexico fights. There was great respect with one another. Oscar caught Miguel Burchelt, which was the defending title holder, who recently lost his belt to Oscar Valdez, Miguel Burchelt. And Oscar caught Miguel with a nasty left hook. You'll probably, the highlights will probably be all over social media, so don't worry about it. You'll probably see it accidentally, if anything. Oscar caught him with a nasty left hook, knocked him out, put him to sleep. I was actually worried. Shout out to Miguel Burchelt. Our hopes and prayers go out to him, because it was a true knockout. He hit the floor. He wasn't moving. I believe they said he was going to escort it to a hospital. Afterwards, he did sit up on the ring while he was, eventually he came to, he was able to sit up while he was on the ring, and then he was able to sit on the stool. And at that point, Oscar came over, you know, they paid their respects verbally. So shout out to Miguel. You know, I hope he's doing all right. Hope it was nothing major. That gotta be one of those hits that got you thinking, like, do I really want to keep doing this? This is, man, listen, it's shout out to fighting sports in general. Fighting sports, you take one of those, you know, it really takes something, special kind of oomph to take one of those and get back in the ring. You know what I mean? Just the PTSD alone, you know, it's like, man. But yeah, Oscar caught him with a mean left hook. All fair, you know, all fair in sports, all fair in love and war. Shout out to Oscar, reigning champion. I'm not quite sure if Miguel has that rematch right. I believe you do. If you're a champion and you lose a title fight, they usually put the rematch in the contract. Miguel has been fighting for a while. I believe his record was 30-something wins and one loss, compared to Oscar, was 20-something and 0. So, you know, Miguel's close to 40 fights in, just lost by a knockout. I mean, it was in the 10th round, give him credit, but, you know, so we'll see what happens. If there's a rematch, I definitely want to tune into that. Anytime we see a championship fight, we know it's two guys that are proven, that are hungry. They just not going out there throwing the fight like some people whose names rhyme with Bate Bobberson. But anyway, let's get into a shout out to Oscar. Congratulations. Hey, ice up. Celebrate. You don't got to fight again for a year. That's the good thing about winning a belt. You don't got to fight for a while after you win the belt. You just milking the promos, the money, the all of that comes with winning the belt. You know, I'd milk it for a year. You know, I keep training, you stay in the gym, but you know that rematch don't got to come for a good 7-8 months. So, you know, just chill, do your thing, enjoy the win. A great win from Oscar. Let's shift over to the NFL. Carson Wentz recently announced that he's been traded to the Colts. Now, I'm looking at this trade thinking, you know, Wentz is one of those things that, like, he's good enough where you want to take a chance on him. But at the same time, he's not good enough where you want to invest long term. So it's very tricky. When he's at his best, he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When he's available, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When he's healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not really going to rank him. I'll definitely say he's top 10 when he's playing, when he's healthy. You could definitely argue top 5. But he has to be there. He has to be available. And that's been his biggest struggle. Over the last couple of years, he just hasn't been available. And most important, ability is availability. You've heard it a million times. But at that quarterback position, it's not just that we need you available to play so that we win a ball game. Is that we're trying to build. We're trying to build a culture. We're trying to build a franchise. We're trying to build a locker room. We're trying to build an expectation. And when your quarterback's in and out, it's impossible. It's impossible to do that. You know, when your quarterback's playing, but then the backup comes and plays through the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl, I can see why the Eagles locker room was divided. If the main guy isn't playing, if the main guy isn't there, like, this isn't high school, this isn't even college even. It would be tough in college, but it's like, the quarterback, you will always be a captain in the NFL. The quarterback has to be one of your captains in the NFL. In high school, that's not necessarily the case. You may have a offensive lineman and a safety. You may have a running back and a middle linebacker. You know, in high school, like, your captains aren't necessarily the quarterback. The quarterback still has to be a leader and show some type of leadership qualities, but we don't necessarily call him a captain. You know what I mean? In college, you could kind of get away with it, kind of, sort of. You could kind of get away with a quarterback not being a quote-unquote captain. But in the NFL, you play quarterback for a season, you're the captain. You're not the only captain, but you're the captain. And when the captain's not present, it's hard to build a culture. It's hard to set an expectation. And so the Colts taking this on is extremely risky, but the way I see it is, this is an Andrew Luck Band-Aid. The Colts put everything in place, structured a team around Andrew Luck, except for offensive line, because the reason he retired is because he was getting beat up. So the offensive line was a work in progress. But the Colts were putting together a winning team, a winning culture, a winning mentality. And out of the blue, Andrew Luck retires. And, you know, they've been doing okay, but they're not at a place where they want to rebuild with, you know, any of the other faces that's been at that spot. It would be a rebuilding process. With Carson Wentz, you know he can perform. And some would argue, I wouldn't, but some would argue that Carson Wentz at his best is comparable to Andrew Luck. Not going to say better, but you can say comparable. So this, if anything, is an Andrew Luck Band-Aid. because they never really addressed that at the quarterback position. They never really got something back, you know, comparable or as good or anywhere close to what Andrew Luck was. So the Colts taking this on makes a little bit of sense. They do have money to pay. If you look at their rosters, they're not paying a ton of, you know, Pro Bowl talent. So all I want to see is Carson Wentz play through the entire season. That's all I don't care if they're over 500, under 500, make the playoffs, don't make the playoffs. I want to see Wentz suited up for every game this season. The only reason he should not be playing is if they're up by 8 touchdowns and there's no reason for him to be out there. Other than that, I want to see him on the field. I want to see that's what I'm telling him. If I'm bringing him into my organization before we sign this piece of paper, before we sign this agreement, and listen, injuries are injuries. You know, health is health. You can't really plan for, you know, something putting you out. You can't really plan for that. But I'm asking Carson. I'm looking him in the eye. I'm asking him, do you still feel like you have the ability to lead us? Do you still feel like you have the ability to play quarterback at a high level? And are you going to do everything in your power to be out there? We don't want to have to pick up another guy or address the media about who we're going to start week to week. The Eagles every week, hey, is Carson Wentz going to start? Yes, he's going to start. Hey, is Carson Wentz going to start? I feel bad for Doug. Every single week, you think Carson's going to start next week? Yes, Carson's our starting quarterback next. Eventually, he had to go with Hurts. Off media pressure alone, he had to go with Hurts. We're not trying to do that in Indianapolis. We want you to be our guy. We're giving you the keys. But if you're not there to drive, we got to get a different driver, and now we're addressing the media of who we're starting every week. We don't want, so just, you know, do whatever in your power, but we want you out there. We need you out there. We'll make practice easier for you. You could go to less lifts. You know what I'm saying? We'll hire all new, you know, personalized strength and conditioning, but we need you out there. Just one season. If he can do it for one season, the Colts going into the following season have something to build off of. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Other guys looking at the Colts and saying, well, Carson, just all he needs is some help. I'll go play over there. I know he had that injury problem, but he just played a whole season. You know. So that's how you build. But you can't build when your captain's not in. You can't set an expectation. This is the last chance for Carson Wentz. You know, after this, I don't even know if you take him as a backup. You know, like Carson Wentz, it doesn't even sound right, Carson Wentz backup quarterback, because he's too good to be a backup. He's too good to play backup. If the starter has a hiccup of a problem, the fans are gonna be like, put Wentz in. He's too good to be a backup. But he's not healthy enough to be a starter. So this is the last chance for Carson at a starting job. If this doesn't work out, it's gonna get real ugly. It's gonna get real ugly. So I'm hoping it works out for him. Shifting over to basketball, the Brooklyn Nets matched up against the Lakers. We've been waiting for it. Everybody pretty much agrees this is an NBA Finals preview. Even though currently the Lakers don't have the best record in the West, but they also don't have Anthony Davis. We've been waiting for this. Anthony Davis didn't play this game, but neither did Kevin Durant. Now, to be fair, we were waiting for everybody at full strength. We were waiting to see LeBron and AD versus Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. That's what we were waiting to see. We don't even really care about the role players, you know. And the Lakers depend a lot on that depth. With Schroeder, with occasionally they'll bring Kuzma off the bench, Montrezl Harrell. Like, the Lakers really depend on that depth. But as the Warriors put it, at a certain point, you gotta have that death lineup. You gotta have that lineup out there that you know, like, all right, this is the ride or die lineup. Other than the center position, I think the Nets pretty much have that. Obviously, James Harden, KD, and Kyrie. But then they're also gonna start Joe Harris because of the shooting ability, because of the movement off screens, and then DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Green, they're still trying to figure out that center spot. When they want to space the floor, they're going to play Jeff Green. But when they want to control the boards and actually have a big body for another big body, they're going to play DeAndre Jordan. I don't think they have the guy yet that they plan on playing at center come the playoffs. I don't think they have the guy. Then again, I don't think they need the guy. With James Harden, Kyrie, and KD, no one's really gonna say, well, they didn't have a center. Like, if that's your excuse, like, that's not really, you throw Joe Harris in the mix, that's four guys, elite scorers. Joe Harris is a shooter, but he's also a bit taller. He's not a shorter guy, so he has the length, not really the defensive agility, but he has the length. So, offensively they're dynamic, they're really good. Defensively we're gonna see, but adding a guy at center isn't gonna fix your defense problems. With that being said, so the Nets won the game. I'm sure the Nets felt really good about that because that's probably who they're going to see in the finals. Anthony Davis is out. LeBron, LeBron did his thing, but my biggest takeaways for the Nets is that they obviously have firepower. They obviously have firepower. Now, if you look at James Harden on the Rockets, James Harden was suffering from guys getting cold, from the lights being too bright. Now, there were a couple times in the clutch where James Harden didn't come through. But if you're playing good basketball, you only have but so many clutch moments. Like, it shouldn't be down by 2, 3 seconds left, or down by 3, 5 seconds left, and you gotta depend on James to bail you out. So if you look at the Nets, if James Harden kicks it out to Kyrie, kicks it out to Kevin Durant wasn't playing, but kicks it out to Joe Harris, these guys are ready and have the ability to hit a shot. So my biggest takeaway is they have the firepower. They have the offensive firepower in Brooklyn. The role players just need to be average. They don't even need to be good. They just need to be average. If Joe Harris goes 2 for 8, they should still be able to win. If DeAndre Jordan only plays 25 minutes and then Jeff Green plays 10, 15 minutes, they should be able to win. This isn't going to be a team and any loss that they take that you can blame the role players while the other guys weren't doing their thing. You have three All-stars, probably three top 10 players. So there is no the other guys. In my opinion, you just can't say, well, they lost because of the other guys at all, ever. Especially against a team with two All-stars or less. The third thing is, like I said, I don't think they have that guy. I think they're going to, look around. The trade deadline is still to come. So I think they're going to look around. But the thing I did like is Anthony Davis didn't play. Now I'm looking at him on the sidelines. And, you know, he doesn't look distraught. He doesn't look bothered. Looks like if it were the playoffs, he could have played. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting. Obviously, I don't know that. Obviously, the report says he's out, so he's out. You do want to rest him. You do want him to get right. But the thing I kind of liked, I don't know if you really noticed this, but LeBron, he doesn't like the regular season finals preview games. He doesn't like those. And it's not to say he tries not to play them, but you can tell that LeBron isn't playing at 100% for those type of games. Like you can just see, like, you're looking and you're like, LeBron's kind of, now this game, he did look fatigued. This game, he looked like he was balling. So I'm not calling LeBron a slacker by any means. But 110%, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that 10%, that above and beyond, LeBron doesn't like doing that in the regular season. I can't blame him. It's year 18. I can't blame him. So even if Anthony Davis plays, right? Let's say Anthony Davis played. Let's say the score was the same score and LeBron had his same stat line. I guarantee you the story would be, well, LeBron could have did more. You know, LeBron, you know, looking at LeBron, he wasn't really, you know, picking it up. He was kind of dishing it out to other guys, trying to get other guys involved. LeBron wasn't taking over. That would have been the story. So I think what happened was Anthony Davis didn't play, which just furthers the narrative of, oh, you know, the Lakers were handicapped. Not only did Anthony Davis not play, but, you know, LeBron is also, you know, he's not in playoff Bron mode. So that's two handicaps in the narrative. But I think Kevin Durant didn't play to take back some of that narrative. I really do. I think Kevin Durant didn't play because there's nothing to brag about. There's nothing to flex about if you beat LeBron. You know, James Harden, Kyrie, KD, you're fully loaded and you beat LeBron with no Anthony Davis. That's not competitive. That's not fun and that doesn't make a good story. So I believe that Kevin Durant just didn't play to control some of the narrative. Because if he played, no matter what the result was, if LeBron wins the game, he would have had to have been Superman. And, you know, he would have had to have been going crazy. Like for LeBron to win that game, he would have had to have been playing out of his mind. It would be playoff LeBron. But I think Kevin Durant just wanted some of that narrative. So he's like, I'm going to sit out. James and Kyrie is enough to beat them without Anthony Davis. And then the story will be Nets win without KD. Yeah, the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis, but Nets won without KD. Then that will be the story. So I think KD is actually paying attention to the narrative. There's no competition. There's no fun in just, you know, blowing out the Lakers with no Anthony Davis. You can't brag on that. You can't really take anything away. I'm watching the Lakers, and what comes to mind after watching that game for the Lakers was, they really don't have that third guy. They really don't have that third option, that third, you know, go-to option. They really don't. I feel like they want so badly for it to be Kyle Kuzma. But it's not. I don't think Kyle Kuzma's a threat. He's a great young player. It's a great young player. But are we really game planning for Kyle Kuzma? Are we really throwing double teams at Kyle Kuzma? Is Kyle Kuzma really going to take over? Is he really going to get hot enough where now we have to plan around? Is that really going to happen? I don't think the Lakers have that third guy. Shooter was out. That would have been interesting to see Shooter play. Shooter was out. Harrell was sixth man of the year last year, but now I don't think he gets the minute to have that type of production again. I simply think he doesn't get the minutes to have that same production. So the Lakers, they don't have that third guy yet. Now they have two of the top five players in the NBA. Let's not act like, you know, they have nothing, you know. But they don't have that third, you know, that third go-to option. LeBron is so late in his career, he's not going to carry a team. It could be regular season, it could be playoffs. LeBron's not going to carry a team at this point. LeBron's interested in playing good basketball. Can we do that? Can we play good basketball? It's not about carrying you guys. I'm trying to play good basketball. I can. I have the ability to, but this point in my career, I don't want to. So it's going to be interesting to see them matched up, hopefully, in the finals, because we get everything at full strength. We get to see everyone at full strength, and that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a doozy. The Lakers may consider making some trades before the trade deadline in March. I don't know who you would trade for. At one point, I remember they were bidding for... Who were they bidding? Was it Anthony Davis? I don't remember. But I think it was for Anthony Davis, because it was at the time when Lonzo and Brandon Ingram were also on the Lakers. And they were making trades or whatever, and they told one team that Kuzma's not on the table. Obviously, LeBron's not on the table, but y'all can have anything else. Now, I feel like Kuzma's on the table. If you can get a veteran all-star for Kuzma somehow, some way, you know, Kuzma plus, it wouldn't just be Kuzma straight up, it'd be Kuzma plus, whatever. If you could do that, I don't know, I think you'd do that. I think you'd do that. You know, the Lakers might add a major piece, either pick someone up off free agency, LeBron puts the call in, get some free agents, or, you know, make a trade off somebody. They could definitely do that. LeBron is in the conversation for MVP this season. You would think with... Anthony Davis going down, that game, at least that game, he plays out of his mind. Just that game against the Nets. Why? I feel like he's close enough to winning MVP that if you go off against the Brooklyn Nets, I don't care if they don't have Kevin Durant. If you go off against the Nets, I think I'd argue you're a lock for MVP. With no Anthony Davis, if you could find a way to win that game, no Anthony Davis, your next best player is Kuzma or Shooter. LeBron's in the conversation for MVP. I was looking up their stats this season. LeBron is at 28 points, 8 rebounds, about 8 assists. I think it's at 7.9, so about 8 assists. But his competition is another guy who's been balling out his mind. Coming off a 50-point, 17-rebound game. And that is Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is averaging a double-double on 30 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Shooting 54% from the field, 40% from the three-point line. 85% from the free throw line. This is your 7 foot, 285 pound center doing this. I watched a highlight. He had an ISO, hit a crossover, step back, like fading sideways mid-range shot, all net. all net. I'd say at this point, Joel Embiid is better TV entertainment than LeBron James. He's more fun to watch on television in the regular season. I believe LeBron will absolutely be more fun to watch in the playoffs. But right now, LeBron is he's kind of coasting. He's building. He's getting the rest of his guys involved, making sure everybody's hot. I think Joel Embiid would be the clear-cut MVP, except for one major problem. And that major problem is he's only played 24 games this season, and LeBron's at 30, which is Joel Embiid's biggest problem. Sometimes he's not available. We just finished talking about being available with Carson Wentz. Embiid is in that same boat. I don't know what they're drinking. I don't know what exercise routine, you know, they're into. I don't know what they're putting in their body. But Joel is another guy that it's difficult for him to stay healthy. And it's difficult for the 76ers to plan around his inconsistency. So I think Joel would be the clear-cut MVP at this point. But LeBron's just more consistent. Especially with Anthony Davis being out, LeBron is going to play. Ain't no rest. Ain't no rest. LeBron is going to play. He's going to get out there. The Lakers are the third seed currently in the West. It's the Jazz, the Clippers, then the Lakers. They're actually tied with the Clippers right now, 22-9. So they're tied with the Clippers. The Suns they're a distant fourth seed at 19 wins. So it's really Utah, Clippers, and Lakers. LeBron don't have wiggle room to rest. Meanwhile, on the East, the Sixers are actually the best team in the East by record, 20 wins, 10 losses. The Nets are a close second. 19 wins, 12 losses, and the Bucks are a distant third with 17 wins and 13 losses. If Embiid can maintain this, you know, a couple weeks in after the All-Star break, I think he got it. And it's hard because LeBron is so good. LeBron is so good, but I don't even think this is one of those situations where you're just tired of seeing LeBron win it. Because there's been plenty of years where I was like, LeBron's the MVP, but I know he's not going to win it. Because he doesn't get enough votes. Because we see it every year. He makes it look easy. But Embiid is one of the first guys, and I'm like, I know LeBron's in a conversation, but your 7 foot center is balling. 7 foot 280 with a package of moves. It's gonna be close. Like I said, it's gonna come down to maybe the month after the All-Star break. If Embiid can help maintain this level of play for the 4 weeks after the All-Star break, I think he got it. I think it's a lock. I don't even think it's close. Mind you, when Anthony Davis comes back, I don't know if LeBron's numbers increase. I feel like they'll either stay the same or get a tad bit lower because I think they're still trying to wake Anthony Davis up. So they may consider making some trades, try to bring somebody else in. LeBron need help. We'll see what happens with that. Speaking of All-Star break, was looking at the votes, was looking at the starter lineups that were released. A lot of fuss over the West because of the starting guards in the West is Luka Doncic and Steph Curry. A lot of people feel like Damian Lillard got snubbed. And as much as people are tired of seeing LeBron in the spotlight, which is why he doesn't win MVP more times than he should, I think people are tired of Lillard. And what I mean by that is that we know about Dame time. We know about, you know, the three pointers from 3 feet behind the arc. We know those things. But we've seen Damian Lillard so many times kill during the regular season and then get to the playoffs and start slacking. And I think people are just tired of investing emotionally into Damian Lillard. I think that's all it is. You know, Luka Doncic is a fresh face. He was going off in a bubble. And even though he lost, people give him the handicap. Excuse me. People give him the handicap of Porzingis being injured, of Porzingis not playing. People give him that handicap. So he's a bit of a martyr, you know. He went down swinging by himself, and he had an amazing series in the bubble. Not to say Damian Lillard didn't, but we've seen the story so many times with Lillard playing really, really good in the regular season, get a playoff matchup that you probably should win or at least go to seven, and don't make it six games. So I think people are just tired of emotionally investing into Damian Lillard. I think that's all it boils down to. Now, by people, I mean the fans. Because reportedly, Lillard won the media and players' votes. But he lost the fan votes. Now, I'm going to have to call Adam Silver after this because, you know, if you win two out of the three, I feel like that takes priority. You know, if Luka's looking at it like, wow, I won the fan vote, but I lost the players' vote and I lost the media vote, but I'm still starting. Like, I would feel weird if I were Luka, because, you know, the players and the media, the qualified journalists and reporters, are saying that Dame is better than you. At the very least, they're saying Dame is more deserving of that starting all-star spot. But we've seen the story. We've seen the Dame story so many times. So, you know, shout out to Luka Doncic, and it sucks that this story is out because it takes the focus off of the accomplishment of making the All-Star team, and we want that to be the focus, ultimately. So shout out to Luka. The other thing, too, is, you know, his team is kind of struggling. The Mavs are currently the 10th seed in the West. Very strong chance that they don't make the playoffs. Given their talent level, it seems strange to even say that. But there's a very strong chance they're currently sitting at 13 and 15. There's a chance that they don't make the playoffs. You know? So, is that a factor in the MVP argument? That's a factor, I believe. Sorry, not the MVP argument. The NBA All-Star Game argument. That's a factor. But at the end of the day, fans want to see who they want to see. And, you know, shout out to Luka for that accomplishment. Dame will still be there, but I believe he's going to be in one of the reserve spots unless he turns it down. Which players do have that option to turn it down if they are invited. Dame, I just think you have to prove it in the playoffs. And by that, I mean, it's okay to lose in the playoffs. It's definitely okay, but there are certain games that we as the fans feel like you should have won. You know, like there are certain games, you know which ones I'm talking about specifically, where it's like you gotta pull that one out. So we've seen that story so many times. So Lillard, I think Lillard understands where it's coming from a fan's perspective. But I also think Damian Lillard is more valuable than Luka Doncic. I just think straight up he's a more valuable player. Unfortunately, you know, the fans' vote takes priority. Why do we even do the players' vote and the media vote if the fan vote overrides it? I don't understand that. I think if you win 2 out of 3, you should get in. Okay, right back over to the NFL. It's nice to see guys getting their money. It's nice to see guys getting what they deserve. Or at least asking for what they should get based off their talent level. Apparently, the Panthers offered 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey. For Deshaun Watson. Now listen, I've said it on previous episodes. I believe Deshaun is better than Patrick Mahomes. Yes, I've been saying it for about the last 2 years or so. I believe that Deshaun Watson is better than Patrick Mahomes. They're already comparable. But here's the key. I feel like Deshaun Watson is doing what Patrick Mahomes does without the team, without a good team. I think Deshaun can make all the plays Patrick makes. And we've seen him make some crazy plays. That's a combination of athleticism and skill. But Deshaun Watson is on that team that's not very good. I think Deshaun Watson is better than Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes. If you put Deshaun on the Chiefs, he's going to be in the Super Bowl as well. I truly believe that. If you put Mahomes in Houston, I think Houston's in the same spot. Because it's just not enough in Houston. It's just not enough. And Deshaun's been giving them time. He's been giving them time to build, to grow, to put pieces around him. But all these years, and the Texans are still the Texans. If anything, they lost pieces. You know, you lost a guy to the Cardinals, and you know, you haven't really replaced that type of talent in Hopkins, so it's tough in Houston. I think if Deshaun Watson moves to an established team, to an established system, I think he's going to be dangerous. I really do. It sucks to be Christian McCaffrey right now, though. The organization just put out a statement saying they're willing to give up 3 first and you. Christian McCaffrey is undoubtedly, I'd say, a top 3 running back in the NFL. In terms of running backs that can run and catch, he's number one. That dual threat of running and catching, he's number one. He's the best. So it sucks to be McCaffrey knowing that the organization just put your head on the platter and was like, we'll give him up and 3 first. You can find another decent running back. You're not going to find another Christian McCaffrey, though. Is that worth getting Deshaun Watson? Listen. It hurts for me to say this, but that is fair in getting Deshaun Watson. It's fair. I hate to say it, but it's fair. If I were to do something like that, I gotta lock Deshaun Watson up, though. I gotta lock him up for a good 4 or 5 years. I gotta lock him. Because it's gonna take me about a year and change to replace that production in Christian McCaffrey. Not to say I necessarily need it, now that I have Watson. But, you know, it's gonna take me about a year to get somebody over to the Panthers. But I mean, listen, Watson has been performing magic In Houston, he needs help. So we'll see what happens with that. They've already announced, Houston's already announced that they don't plan on trading Deshaun for anything. So that's something you say when you want the highest value. I would hate to see, it's not like the NBA. It's not like the NBA where if you don't like your contract, if you don't like your team, you could kind of sit out, you could kind of not play. It doesn't really work that way. And I'm happy to see guys being valued. I'm happy to see somebody say, hey, I'll give up 3 firsts and McCaffrey for that guy. I'm happy for that. But it's hard in the NFL to fake playing. Once you're out there, you're out there. And if you play bad on purpose, you're putting other guys at risk. Especially at the quarterback position. You can't just have a bad season. You can't just make a bad throw. You can't just sabotage the play. Like, it's not that simple. You're going to get somebody hurt. And the NBA, if a guy wants out, he'll start putting up 5-point games. No rebounds, no assists, no blocks. Like, he'll start not showing up to practice. He'll start spreading, you know, rumors or leaking things in the locker room. And the NFL, that doesn't work as much. It doesn't work so much. I think the last person to kind of do it successfully was Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's Raiders, you know, stint. When Antonio Brown was on the Raiders, he was really trying to get out of there. He was misbehaving. He was doing everything. That's, you know, and he did get out of that situation. I don't know how much money it cost him. It probably cost him millions. But he's a Super Bowl champion currently, so what can I say? It's going to be real interesting. Now, at the end of the day, Houston, they don't have to trade Deshaun Watson. In that scenario, Deshaun, you know, he would have to play next season for the Houston Texans. But like I said, his heart won't be in it. His mind won't be in it. And he's going to be getting calls all season from his agent. So-and-so's offering this. So-and-so's offering that. So-and-so's offering, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? So that sucks. But we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. Christian McCaffrey, I can't even picture him on another team. He just looks like sometimes a guy looks the part of the uniform. You know what I mean? Christian McCaffrey is one of those guys that I can't picture him in a different jersey and helmet. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. Like he's that guy. The Jets could offer 4 first-round picks between this year and next year. And then the Dolphins could offer 2 first-round picks and Tua Tagovailoa. So there are other possible deals that make sense. You know, the question is, do they want to take what's on the table now, or do they want to, you know, risk playing Deshaun another year unhappily and then dealing with it next season? We'll see what happens with that. I personally think if Deshaun Watson goes to a contender, he's going deep in the playoffs easily. Give Deshaun a team, he's easily going deep in the playoffs, without a doubt. Sometimes, guys, all they need is a team, a little hope, a little confidence, a little courage. But that wraps it up for today's show. Thank you for joining me. Sports Talk with Tajay Russell. Season 3. Again, check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, check out my boys, Elevation 5280 Sports. You can find us on Twitter, IG. Thank you all for joining me. Have a great day.